What's up, bitches? Welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast with your host, Brandon Lynette. Guess what, you guys? You're not going to believe it. I have another guest for you today, and I'm super excited. I'm going to introduce you to Dana Austin. And the things she's passionate about, I think, are things that we all need to have conversations about, okay? The minute I saw her comment on the post when I asked for guests on the podcast, it stood out to me. So I'm excited to hear her story, and then we'll ask her some super deep and uncomfortable questions and put her on the spot, and you know how we do. So, all right, you guys, say hello, Dana.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Go ahead and give us your background. Tell us who you are, what you do, and what you're here to talk about.
Okay, so my name is Dana Austin, obviously. And I am in financial services. I am super passionate about helping people with their money and just understanding just simple concepts for everyone who just maybe didn't get to learn when they were younger. Maybe, you know, a lot of people I meet with are in their, you know, mid 40s sometimes, but I start with all ages and just try to teach people like just some of the basics of how to handle money and just the concepts that like the financial world is complicated these days. And then it just gets even more complicated with all the noise that's on the internet. And so nobody really knows how to listen, you know, who to listen to,
right?
You know, what's the best for them. And it comes down to just, you've got to talk to a qualified advisor about your specific goals, because you could ask 100 people and get 100 different answers. So I just love helping people. And that's just my goal, is to just reach as many people as possible.
That's awesome. I think, number one, it's not taught in school. You know what I mean? Like, we're not taught financial literacy. And coming from, I emancipated at 15 from, I was my own, whatever, out in the world solo.
Right.
I never had anybody teach me about money, and I'm in my 40s and I fucked it all up. Like, beyond fucked it all up a million times. And it's something now that, you know, is in my awareness of having older kids, of just like being able to teach them the importance of budgeting. You know, it's a joke right now where I'm like, I don't even know how to help you, my girls, because I'm like, I haven't even helped myself. I'm just getting smart on this. But like, we're in school being primed to get into a huge debt, and nobody is taught to think for themselves outside the box. Like, and especially now, just our economy, like we're paying so much more for things, and little, it's everywhere, and we're not getting, you know, a bigger paycheck, but
right,
everything's kind of on the rise. And I think money is a huge issue for so many people right now. So if you, you know, one of my listeners, let's say one of my listeners is on day one, and they are check to check, don't even have, you know, a plan to budget. Like, what is your advice for them if they came to you and they're like, look, I'm just paycheck to paycheck, what do I do?
Well, I see this a lot, and I'm not going to lie, there's a guy on the radio that I listen to and I learned a lot of stuff from. So, but I don't run my business that way, because it's just more complicated when you're in a one-on-one situation. Everybody's situation is different. So,
right.
I have had clients lately that are in that position where they're just like, I mean, I've been in that position myself.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of why I started this. I've been there. I was a single mom, for, you know, I got divorced, about 11 years ago, and just in all the things that happened in the process, I wound up, my pay got cut in half right after everything was final. It was just like a perfect storm. And that was me. I had no room on my credit cards. I couldn't hardly afford to pay my bills. There was no way to work overtime and earn extra money. My schedule didn't really allow me to have another job. So it was just like, I don't know what to do. And so for some people, the answer is just treading water. You know, you just got to tread water for a little bit and understand that all you can do is all you can do. And
right.
So if you can make the minimum payments, and just keep going, it will get better. And if you can, you know, if your
credit is okay.
That's
me to myself
okay,
every month when I pay my Amazon bills. I'm like, it's fine, girl. You just make that minimum payment. You're fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
I mean, if you have extra, there's definitely ways to help you know, make it progress faster. But if you don't have any extra, you've just got to tread water. And so I've helped people for over a year, just monthly, we'll just meet and I'll just say, okay, we'll just, these are the bills you need to pay. And this is, you know, and just sometimes that's what it takes, is just having someone tell them, hey, it's okay to be in this position. It's like, no one's looking at you like you're, I don't know. We all get this like stigma of, oh my yeah. gosh, you know, I bet everyone out there is doing so much better than me. And, and, you know, we can't compare ourselves to everyone else, and we just have to get over it,
right,
and just do the best we can at the time. So like,
we're all hanging on by a thread, y'all. Okay. We're all hanging on by a thread.
You know, and if you're going to be late on something, I mean, cause I've been in the position too, where I was like, okay, well, I, something's got to get there's, I just don't have enough. If you're going to be late on something, I think, personally, it's going to, anything's going to ding your credit. Right. But, you know, you pay the house payment and the car payment, cause you got to have a car to get to work. You got to have some place to live, and you keep the lights on and everything else. And if some of your credit cards, you know, you can't pay them, then, you know, maybe not all of them at the same time, but you might have to be late on one or two, and just, you know, just resign yourself. And then if you get some money that comes in, you know, you just kind of focus on trying to get caught back up, you know? And so sometimes it's just a matter of doing the best you can.
So I'm not, excuse me, I'm getting all choked up here. I'm really passionate about the conversation with my listeners, that we have to be proactive. We have to create, we have to do the things. So in that space, you know, I help women bring in that side hustle, you know, extra, there is something online for everyone. Anyone can make some extra money at any point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So when you've got someone who starts to make that extra income as a financial advisor, right? What would you suggest they do first? So they're bringing in a couple extra hundred a month. What do they do with that money to maximize their earning capability? You know, are
maximize earning, or just to
savings, like to get a leg up,
control to what they're doing,
become financially smart.
Okay. I would say, so the first thing that we walk with people through is making sure, especially if you're married or you have kids or people who are dependent on the income that you have,
right?
Everyone needs to have life insurance in place, because if your income goes away, everyone else in your household is just going to be devastated no matter what. Like if your income is even a part of that, you've got to have life insurance. So if you don't have any, and having a second job is the thing that gets you to be able to afford that. I mean, you can, anything is better than nothing, and you can start with a little until you can work up to what you really need. But that's kind of where we start. And then the next thing I usually look at is trying to build up a little bit of an emergency fund, because the next goal is to make sure that we protect your plan. So I usually, when I meet with someone, I come up with an entire plan. I'll actually show them how long it will actually take to pay off their debt if they can just make the minimum payments. And so our first goal is to protect that plan. If you don't have an emergency fund, the first thing that's going to happen when something comes up, you get a flat tire. Your plan's gone. I mean, and so like, we need to get a little bit of money saved up so that we can protect that plan. And it's going to be different for everyone, depending on, you know, what their situation is. So some people, it's going to be $500. Next person might be $1,000, you know, it just depends. And then after that, you just have to have a plan, and then know exactly, extra money that comes in, you know exactly where it's going.
Where did your passion for financial literacy come from?
You know, I think I'm like you, I wasn't emancipated that young, but I knew that I needed to get out of, I'm originally from Iowa, small town, just, and small town, like nothing really going on there. I needed to, and I had no idea what I wanted to do with my future. So at 19, I left, I moved to Arizona. And I got started with my life, moved in with my boyfriend at the time, and we got jobs, and he kind of got me started on like learning about money, because I really, up until that point, I had lived with my parents. Nobody really taught me anything. I also wasn't really open to learning because I was just a kid, you know, and I didn't really need to. And so, as I got older and got, you know, bought my first house, we got into debt, you know, created a mess for ourselves because we really didn't have any guidance. Just started, we had been broke and paid it all off, and then broke again and paid it all off again. Like we went through the cycles multiple times. And then I realized that there's got to be a better way than to keep going through these cycles. And so that's kind of where it started. A lot of divorce, got remarried. And when I got remarried, I just said, you know what, look, I am not, this is what I have an idea for my future and my future financial life. And if we're going to join our finances, then this is how we're going to do it. And he was on board 100%. Like we went to a class, we went through all the stuff that I teach people now. And, the first 22 months we were married, we paid off about $80,000 in debt. So wow. We got debt free in 22 months. And from there, we just started saving up. We were renting a place. So we started saving up for down payment, got our emergency fund in place, got a house, moved. I mean, you know, and in 10 years, we've been able to. So we did all that the first two. So the last 8 years, you know, we were able to we have 10 years left on our mortgage.
Nice.
Because we've just concentrated on making sure that we make the right decisions. And, you know, everybody goes through ups and downs. There's always going to be a time where you're focusing more on savings or you're focusing more on just making the payments. But if you have a plan and you are just sticking to the plan, it just gives you the ability to go to sleep at night and not worry about all that stuff.
So is there anything in your life right now that keeps you up at night?
Yeah. You know, just family stuff, relationship stuff, you know, just
life. You're in the same arena as all of us.
Yeah.
Getting your ass kicked.
Exactly. I mean, I just got my promotion to be able to open my own office and
congrats.
That was a fight. It was a struggle. Thank you. It was a long time coming and I feel like it kind of helps, even though I've always known what I'm talking about and people see that it's almost like you get this, like, you hit this level and it finally becomes like more legitimate or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's funny how that happens. And I don't know if it's me or if it's other people, you know, how that goes where it's like, maybe it's myself that's kind of holding myself back or is it the chicken or the egg, you know?
And I was kind of the opposite of that. Like when dreams started coming true for me, I always wanted to be an author. When I published my book, it was kind of a letdown because I'd wanted it for so long. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be an author. And then the book is published and like nothing changed. I'm still me. Everyone's still everyone. I'm like, oh, it's weird here now. What the hell?
Yeah.
It was so weird for me. So I feel like so many people put expectations into that next level of success. And then they get there and they realize like, they're still the same. It's not anything now, but maybe people, you know, you get that authority. I guess there is a level of like, well, I do know how to publish a book now, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of fun, but it was very weird. I actually hit my lowest point after I hit my highest for sure.
Yeah.
It was
well,
bizarre.
That happens because you kind of get to that, you know, you're thinking, okay, I'm here. This is where I wanted to be. And then it's like, well, now what, you know,
there wasn't
where do I go?
Yeah. What is your next step? What is your next goal? You hit this goal. What is your next step in the financial world?
Well, I've actually kind of shifted my focus a little bit, not away from helping individuals and families, but, it's cause that I will always love doing that. I've always been an investment person. I've always been focused more on like showing people how, cause one of the overall things that I see that people are so afraid of is investing. And that's where I see the most misinformation and noise and garbage out there. And I, with my licensing, I'm not allowed to say anything publicly on any kind of social media.
So you
about,
can't
like,
spill
can't
any
advice.
Truth about investments right now.
Well, I can't give any specific advice. I can't talk about certain like products necessarily, but
you can't
like,
say invest in Wegovy, right? Like
I
you can't
say, yeah. I mean, it's just, it's kind of a, I guess what I don't like about it is just seeing other people out there who aren't licensed for anything, don't really understand anything about it. And then they're just giving advice to other people based on what they do personally. And it's like, well, everyone has a different situation. So if someone comes to me and they're on the verge of retirement, that's going to be a different discussion than a 20-year-old. You know, everyone's got their risk tolerance, how how much they are comfortable being at the mercy of the market. We have right. very simple ways of investing for people so that they can have a long-term plan. And as long as they stick with the plan, they're going to be fine. But it stinks when, you know, you meet someone who's later in life and they don't have a lot of savings and they've never invested because they've always been afraid.
They have nothing,
you know,
because
what if the stock market crashes? Yeah. What if the stock market? Well, you know, I mean, I
got nothing to lose, but like they can't lose their money at this point because that's all they have to live on. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, they just, but they've never been really taught, or they've, or, you know, they were experienced a friend or family member who lost all their money because they had one bad investment. And, you know, single stocks are risky. You want to buy into Apple? Great. Apple's a great company, but like, what happens tomorrow if something happens to Apple?
Right.
You know, and so right. like I think we've all experienced that. And so we try to make sure that people understand, you know, diversification and just what it means to like not be solely invested in one thing too heavily so that you can protect the rest of your assets.
Right.
And, you know, so that kind of thing. I mean, nothing specific, but like,
right.
there's a lot to learn, you know?
So what could you tell if I have a listener right now who has never even, the thought of investing has never even crossed their mind? Where would mm-hmm. you, what direction would you point them in to get started?
Well, first just education, because I don't ever want somebody to invest in something that they don't understand. And first you've got to know why are you investing? You know, we talk about like a lot of times, one of the things we teach our clients is how, you know, people think that their money is safest in the bank, mm-hmm. you know, oh, my money is safest in the bank. Mm-hmm. I can't lose anything. Well, the thing that you can lose in the bank is you're opening yourself up to inflation risk. And you put your money in the bank, they're not paying you hardly any interest on that money that's in there. And the reality is, you know, your money isn't actually sitting in a vault at the bank. Like it's not,
right.
they're
people
not taking
understand.
It. And just,
they
and the banks are
that.
Using your money. Yeah. Like they're right. using your money and they're yeah. making money on it. And you're paying fees. Yeah. I mean, I've got a teenager and man, we go around and around. And I keep saying, don't put money in your savings account if you're just going to turn around and take it back out, because they're charging right. him fees, you know, yep. just to take money out of a savings account if he does it too much. And he keeps doing it. And I'm like, you're just throwing that money out the window.
Yeah.
So first of all, make smart choices.
Yes.
And like, look at your patterns of behavior and see what it's doing to you. And then, you know, and I have all kinds of ideas for my clients to change those behaviors if that's the problem. So, you know, right. There's all kinds of, it's a lot of what I do is just behavior management, honestly.
Okay.
Like there's not a whole lot of magic to it. It's like, there's right. some very basic principles. And then the rest is just understanding the people that I'm meeting with and then understanding what they need in order to change what they're doing and make good habits and just right. kind of, you know, manage their situation, because everyone's got different like habits.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of like, put all your bill money in one account and don't touch it, you know, yeah. and then have an account that's just free spending money, you know, because yeah. nobody wants to carry cash anymore. So separating that stuff helps keep it in line. But yeah, I mean, there's just so many things. But yeah, the banking thing, making sure people understand that they are at risk. If you have right. hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting in one savings account, you may not have, they talk about FDIC insurance.
Yes.
There's a limit to that,
yeah,
you know?
Is.
So it's like, yeah. And so you've got to know what you're dealing with. And so I kind of teach based on each person's situation too. Like what right. do they need to know? But some basics, I would tell somebody to go out and Google the rule of 72.
The rule
we
of
teach
72.
That
I'm going
to
put
everyone.
That in my notes so I don't forget.
It's on
that.
Google.
Okay.
It's on Google. You can find it, and it just explains the power of compound interest,
okay.
and why you should invest your money. And it's simple math. It's they call it like the fifth wonder of the world. I mean, it's like the
I love
eighth
it.
Wonder of the world, whatever it is, seven, yeah, eighth wonder of the world. I think Einstein figured it out about compounding interest. You know, and yes. I don't know. Everybody's heard that whole thing about if you give somebody a penny a day doubled, would you rather have a penny a day for 30 days doubled, or would you rather have like $100 a day for 30 days or something like that? And it's like, yeah, I mean, if you've heard it, you know, the right answer is give me the penny a day.
Yep.
Because you're doubling it. And then it's by the 30th day, it's like millions of dollars.
So this is what I see happening, because I think people know that logically. It's like when people win the lottery. Yeah. They want the lump sum because they want everything right now.
Right.
Yeah. When they could get twice as much money if they just let it be dished out, right? So what would you tell someone to try to change their mentality of that? I want it right now. Like, how do you coach your clients through that process of, you know, they're like, I just want it now, instead of like, hey, just be patient. Like 30 days, it's going to be bigger. It'll be more. How do you work through that with them, with the microwave mentality of society today?
Well, yeah. Usually we'll look at the past and say, okay, if you had started here, then this is where you would be today. Sometimes.
Oh, I bet that
hurts. Oh, it does sometimes.
It would kill me. Yeah, I know really that. Hurt. I didn't want to see it.
Well, and I'll tell you, I myself, when I was younger, like I said, I made a lot of mistakes. I had a 401k plan at my work, and my ex-husband and I, we would take out loans and, you know, do stupid things. And I've taken out. So there was one point where I think I took out like 20 grand, and because we needed to pay off some debt. Right. So, cause it's that instant gratification of, oh, I've got this money sitting over here. I can just go take this out and pay off this debt with it. And then I'm debt free. Right. No. Because you know why? First of all, you're going to wind
IRS
up back in debt.
IRS comes in knocking too.
Oh yeah. And then that's the other thing. Out of that 20, I think I actually wound up with like 16.
Yeah.
Because I had to pay taxes and penalties on it. Yep. And then I'm a glutton for punishment. So I went back like 7 or 8 years later, and I did the math, and I looked every year at what my returns were on that account, and what I would have had if I had left that $20,000 in there. And I mean, it just makes you want to throw up, because you're just like, oh my gosh, I could have been so much farther if I would have just had the patience to just pay the stupid debt off month after month. And I had the money. I mean, that was the silly thing, is like, I could have paid it off in 6 months, probably, if I just had the patience to do it the right way. But we all want it now. You know, we all just want it now. And
exactly.
And as far as investing goes, I mean, you're not gonna, I mean, there is no magic pill. There's no magic. Right. There's no like, oh, I'm just going to put it in this one thing and it's going to, you know, all the, it's luck. Like there's
no we're
one
still
out there
recovering
who has made...
from eating our ass off on a bad investment. Like we're still recovering. Yeah. Savings gone. Everything was gone. We were like caught with our pants down 100%. So I get that, you know, I get that. And the reality now, it's like trying to build back that trust of what, when you get burned so bad, it's hard to go back out there. So we're at the point of like, I'm not ready still. Like I'm not ready, because you just, it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It is scary. And sometimes it just takes, and that's why, like, you know, I always recommend people talk to a professional.
Yeah.
And because the professionals have been around, they've been through all the cycles. They've actually seen it. We're not just listening to headlines. I mean, the headlines every day are gloom and doom. And oh my gosh, everything's crashing. And and it's like, I'm like, I go, okay. So, you know, the one thing that people don't understand either is when you're investing, you're not putting your money in the bank, like at a traditional bank. When you're investing, you're purchasing shares of either a mutual fund or a stock or something else. You're buying something, and it has a value to it.
Right.
You know, just like if you go down to the store and you buy, you know, cornflakes, today's price is today's price. And then 3 weeks from now, inflation might have driven it up, or there's a great sale on it. So when are you going to buy more of it? When it's on sale, right? You know, so when the market is down, you know,
it's the best time.
You want to like take advantage of it, right? And then, but like people only see, oh, the market's at a high. Now I need to get in. That's not, and that's the other stuff we'll teach our clients about, dollar cost averaging, and you know, that's another thing that you can, you know, look up. But just, it's a matter of consistency and just making sure that you're not, like I said before, I think just not invested heavily into one thing, you know, and making sure that you're you've got a good plan and a good goal, and we'll set a good long-term 10-year plan. And the time to judge the plan is in 10 years, not 3 weeks from now or 2 months from now or a year from
even
now.
A year.
You know, I mean, yeah, even a year. It's like sometimes, you know, we've had bad years. I mean, last year was not awesome, but hey, this year is great. Like, so it's just a matter of just, we need, you've got to have patience. And also, I mean, no matter what's going on politically, there's going to be a little bit of a shift because people panic and they do things, and there's no one person out there that's controlling the market. It's, I'm a big fan of just the consumers are who are controlling the market. Mm-hmm. The people who are out there buying products from companies are who is controlling the market. And so like, if you're still out there shopping and you're still getting paid and everything is still kind of status quo, the odds are that like really nothing major is going to happen. And we've seen stuff where, oh yeah, something major happened, and then a month later, everything's back to normal. Right. Just because people were panicked. And so it's just, you can't panic. You can't make decisions based on emotion. And, you know, if for some reason everything goes to zero, we have got a lot bigger problems than whether or not your money was in the market or in the bank, because you're probably not going to get money out of the bank either.
Exactly.
So like, it's just, there's just those like things that people, those are the common things that I run into, you know.
I love that. The Who are your things. You know, people listening to this that are kind of intrigued and they're like, all right, I'm going to check into my financial literacy. Who are some of your mentors in the space? Like people they could go to YouTube and watch and listen to, or like, how can they gain some of this knowledge? Do you have a website or stuff that you share all the time? Like who would you point them to?
Myself. really just myself. I can't really, I don't really have other people that I listen to outside of me and my other advisors. I mean, there's a few, but they're not really public. I, you know, Dave Ramsey is one that I kind of started out listening to. He's got some good points, but he's a little,
I don't agree with him on a lot of things. I agree with him on some things, but there's some things where I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, he's very militant about stuff, and he makes people feel bad about themselves.
Yes.
And so I have followed his plan, but then at a certain point, I hate even calling him out on it, but like, normal people can't live that way.
No.
And I have met too many people who go, oh yeah, I did the plan and I paid off all my debt. And then within like a year or so, they're back in debt. And I mean, that was me. I mean, I did the same thing. Like we'd pay off all our debt, and then we'd wind up back in debt because we
cycled through that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's because, and the difference between me and him, and I really can't talk publicly about it. Like I can't really have like a podcast that's focused on giving people financial advice.
Right.
I can have a podcast about anything else. Which is my plan is like, I like talking about boundaries and just all of the stuff that people need to know as adults. That we just aren't taught, like how to just have relationships. But like, I just think that like, I help people take that, okay, we're debt free, now what?
Mm-hmm.
And I help people from there to have an actual plan. And that's why I got into the actual financial services business, because my company, like we work with so many different companies out there to be able to find the right like situation for people. You know, somebody comes to me and they want to invest money, I've got a ton of different options, and I make sure the one that we pick, you know, I'll give them a couple, but like it's because that's what's right for them, you know. And then someone else comes to me and I have different options for them because that's what's right for them in their stage of life, in their goals, and what their risk tolerance is, you know, because some people are like, yeah, I really don't want to lose my money. So then we look at something that is very safe, you know, and then other people are like, yeah, I'm super young people. You know, you've got the ability to be a little more aggressive because you've got a lot more time for that money to grow, you know? So if you're going through the market just goes through cycles, but it's going to have ups and downs. So it just depends on how many years you have till you need to have that money. And then the other thing that we do is we look at, because I think there's a big misunderstanding, or just, I guess, lack of education. Like, so there's just this whole, oh, I'm just saving for retirement, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just saving for retirement. But mm-hmm. but what are you saving for retirement, right? Because we all know that if you're going to set goals, you need to have it be defined. Yeah. And you need to have it, it has to be, there's got to be a time set of like mm-hmm. when you want to hit that goal. And then, you know, there's got to be all these things that happen. So when you just say, I'm saving for retirement, most people have no idea what that means. Mm-hmm. And they don't know what their goal is. And they don't know when they need it by. And so like, that's what I do. I mean, like you come awesome. To me, I go, how old are you? When were you born? When do you want to retire? Like I ask a million questions. And so, you know, it's, I get to know you specifically, and then I build you a plan that's specific for you. And I tell you exactly how much money you're going to need for retirement and how much you need to save to get there.
Right.
And this is how we're going to save it, you know? So it's like,
yeah,
I don't, there's not a lot of people out there that talk about that stuff.
No, there's not.
It needs to be more.
I love but, that like, you stepped just... into that, the power and the potential of who and what you needed through different parts mm-hmm. of your life. I love that you... And not just that, I mean, how grateful that you did go through, you know, losing it and paying off debt and then getting in debt again. Because how could you relate to people otherwise?
Exactly.
You know,
it'd
exactly. be hard to
relate. Because I don't ever want someone to feel bad for sitting. I mean, I know how it feels when you're in that position. You feel like exposed and vulnerable. And right. the last thing you want to do is sit down with somebody who's going to tell you you're an idiot, you're stupid, or like, mm-hmm. why did you let this happen? You know? And it's like, no, that's the last, I'm going to just go, okay, doesn't matter what happened in the past. Here's what we're going to do going forward. And, you know, and I meet with people often, they don't have to pay me either. Like I do free consultations, and part of what I do, I get paid from like the investments, and I get paid okay. from, you know, if I cover someone with life insurance, then that company pays me. Like, so I don't,
yeah.
no one pays me directly to have the appointment. And,
okay.
and so that helps because everyone has access.
Careful, Dana, you might get bombarded because my listeners
okay.
are real and they know that okay. I do think they're stupid if they don't take this serious. I think you're stupid if you don't actually look at your finances and start taking massive responsibility. And I'm right there with you because my husband and I are like, we've done some dumb shit, you guys. Like we have done dumb shit, and I'm a stay-at-home mom for a month now without an income. And so we're navigating through how all of this looks and all the dumb shit we've done. I'm just like, wow, it sucks right now that we did so much dumb shit. Cause it could look a lot different right now. So you're not doing this alone. It's over. You did what you did. You know, that's what I told my husband, like we did it. So we're here. Let's just get through it. It's the only way yeah. you could do it. But you've got to have these conversations. You have to bring that money relationship into your awareness and set goals. That's the theme of life. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If it's just, you know, personal goals, relationship goals, you've got to have financial goals too. So make sure you guys give Dana a follow. And I mean, yeah, reach out, you guys, see if she can help you out. And Dana, I want to know that people do reach out because bitches, listen, I will know. I'm watching you. I want you guys to take this serious because I think it's super important. And money ends up being a stress that's unnecessary. So let me ask
exactly.
you this, Dana, if you had, I've been asking everybody this question because I love mm-hmm. it. Cause I literally talked about this last night with my husband. If you had all the money in the world, completely debt-free, everything you needed, like you never had to worry about spending another penny, like you were just set, what would you be doing with your time?
I would do what I'm doing now. Like, I love
yeah.
it. Like that's my goal, is to just, you know, make enough money that I never have to really think about how much I'm making. And it's
yep.
just, and that's the beauty of this business a little bit. If I can, I mean, that's part of why I got into this business is residual
yeah.
income, right? Like we all want to
yes.
look for, we're looking for a type of income that can come in that pays you whether you work or not, right? That's why you write a book, right? You wrote
yeah.
the book, you did the work up front, and then every time a book sells,
yeah.
you get paid, right? So that's
right.
kind of how some of my stuff works in this business. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm just like, I want to help as many people as possible.
Yeah.
I'm also looking at getting into, I'm also in the 401k space and trying to go into businesses and give them, we do something like a a presentation for the employees to
Okay.
make sure that they're maximizing their retirement plan that they have, because a lot of people
Yeah.
are not, and they've not, companies out there have these plans and then they don't teach people or they don't educate people. And so like we go in and have an appointment and we just talk about, hey, here's the things that we teach them, everything that we teach our clients.
Yeah.
And then they have the opportunity to have an appointment with us and sit down and actually really go through their stuff. But yeah, I mean, I just love doing it so much that like I would do it for free. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just my thing.
Girl, I know. I love this podcast and I sure as hell am not getting paid. So I totally get it. I totally get it. You talk about boundaries, so we can just flip the script 100% here. Where does that come from? Your passion for boundaries?
It comes from my first marriage, honestly. My ex-husband was an alcoholic. And we were married for 13 years. It took me a long time to understand that I didn't sign up for that. I don't have to put up with that. There was a lot of behavior issues that I just, and, you know, it was a lot of like, oh, I'll get better and I'm going to stop and all this stuff. And then, you know, and then empty promises and all that stuff. And I finally just got to a point where I was taking care of my kids and I felt like a single mom, and I was going to work every day and just like, and he was working, but still like I just felt like I was just doing it alone. And I go, okay,
right.
well, if I feel like I'm alone, then and it's just I sat there and thought, you know, if this is my life in 20, 30, 40 years, I am going to look back and kick myself, because I do not want this to be my life for the next, you know, however many years. And then also my daughter was, I think she was about 5. And I looked at her and thought, I don't want my daughter to think that this is how a married couple is supposed to act. I don't want my daughter to stay someplace that she is not happy because she feels like she has to. And, you know, I come from a Christian background with, you know, I mean, very few people in my family have ever been divorced. And so, you know, it was a big, huge decision for me. Plus I don't have family that lives close. So here I am looking at like, I've got to make a change, and I didn't have a lot of options. You know, it's hard to kick someone out of your house when they have nowhere to go. It's hard for you to leave when you have nowhere to go and no support, you know? So I just got to a point, I can't do this anymore. And so I had to really learn boundaries. He would text me if I would go to the grocery store, he would text me like 20 times. Where are you? When are you going to be back? You know? And it's that, like, he was jealous, I guess. And I just never had any freedom. I couldn't breathe. And then when I left, you know, he still did the same thing. And I had to learn really quick.
That's how I feel, you know, like what? With my 5-year-old. That shit watches me on Life 360
right?
when I leave. Like, where's mommy? Where's she coming home? A level 5 finger. Let me breathe, kid.
Right. And I was like, I'm not doing this. And, you know, I had friends who helped remind me of my boundaries. And then I read a book all about it. And I was just like, okay, why don't we know this stuff?
Yeah.
This is stuff that should be taught. And in the last, I don't know, couple of years, I mean, my kids are teenagers now. So my son's 19, my daughter's 17. She got a job recently, her first job. And she goes to online school. So her schedule was kind of weird. So she was working and not in like, not, could not have her phone on her while all of her friends are at school. And, you know, she's got friends all over the place because that's how teenagers are these days.
Yep.
And they just have friends everywhere and they're just in contact every minute of the day, you know? And so everybody has this like instant gratification. I want to talk to you and you need to respond right now. And she was she was getting so upset about just her friends were giving her so much grief about the fact that like she couldn't respond. You know, and she's like, I'm at work, I can't respond right away. You know, so they'd be texting her and wondering why she doesn't want to talk so much anymore. Why is she, why aren't you responding? And I mean, and I even went through this with her back when I got divorced and her dad had control of her cell phone and he would call her. He like replaced her, like he replaced me with her. which is sad for a little girl, but she was, and she would cry. She'd be like, oh, my dad says I gotta answer the phone or else, you know, and he was calling, he'd call her 20 times a day for nothing, you know? And so finally I said, you have got, just stop. And if he does this, you know what you do? Put him on do not disturb. And you answer the phone when you want to talk. And this is what's wrong with our society, is that everyone thinks that everyone else is at their beck and call. And texting has kind of gotten people, and texting, instant message, whatever. You know, it's just made us so much more instant gratification. And that, like, when I send you a text, I need a response right now. I do not leave my read receipts on my phone. I don't want people to know when I read their message, because I don't want them to expect a message back right this second. Like, sometimes I read a message and I need a minute to think, or I need a little bit, you know? And so I just think that, like, it's gotten out of hand for people, and nobody has any boundaries anymore. Yeah. Nobody. Like, it's, and so I'm with my daughter in her first job, she's 16. Like, she was going in and working, and then she made friends with her boss, a friend. And then that person became supervisor. She got sick and she had been working really hard. Like, she burned herself out to the point of, like, I kept telling her to take some days off. They didn't have people, you know, it's that whole thing. And so she called in sick, and then they started harassing her at home on her phone, harassing her about calling in. And this is like a 19-year-old, 20-year-old, you know, there's like two or three of them, all, a group of them that were like in the supervisor position. They weren't at work. And she was so upset. And she's like, why can't they just accept the fact that I'm sick and I can't go to work, you know? Right. And they were like, well, you know, we're friends. How could you do this to your friend? And it's like, this isn't a friend conversation. This is you're my boss. And if you have a problem with me, you need to talk to me about it when I'm at work the next time, not when I'm sick at home on the couch. And like, the worst thing is that you should have anxiety. And my past job, absolutely, I had no boundaries, no boundaries, because I could not get time off to save my life. You know, it's always, well, we need people. You can't have a day off. My son's going through the same thing. Like, businesses and companies, they don't care about their employees the way they should.
No.
That's another thing I'm super passionate about, is just people having a profession or a job or anything that they want to do where they are cared about. Like, I love Simon Sinek in this realm. If you can listen to Simon Sinek, he is amazing. He talks about your why and understanding your why. He talks about stuff from the business perspective of how to treat their employees. And if you're not being treated right, it's just, I mean, for me, it was time to go. I was like, I can't. The minute I got to a point where my boss basically was like, that training program is not for you, even though they had made an announcement and said anyone can apply for it. And I had other people, even people higher than my boss, telling me to go apply for it because I would be perfect because of my personality and the things that I had done. They were like, yeah, you should do this program. And they said, go ask him about it. And I went and asked him, and he looked at me like I slapped him in the face and was like, that's not for you. No. Like, and just dismissed me.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's when the switch flipped on that. And I was like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm fine. I 5-year plan, made a goal, and I did it. You know, nice. I was like, I'm out. I cannot stay here, because the lack of respect, I had already gotten to the top of the pay scale. Like, there was no making more money for me. And I was just like, when you get to a point in your job where you have nowhere to go that's up or even a better situation, then it's time to like explore your options and figure out something else.
I'm sure there's someone listening that is miserable at their job. So I hope that this inspires them to just finally set that boundary, because it's exhausting. And then this is the kind of shit that when your job sucks, your family pays the price for that no matter what. And I know that, because I live that. My husband was miserable at work. It was heavy. It was heavy. And, you know, it's finally, I'm like, you know, you're choosing what you're not changing, get something different. And he would go back to, well, I love what I do. I love what I do. And now he's in a whole different environment. I've never seen that man excited to go to work. I don't even know who he is anymore. I'm just like, wow, you're so happy. Like, You know, it's crazy to me, the shift of
And
what
it's scary.
Working somewhere you love. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
It's
scary. Was
terrifying.
he scared to make that leap? I mean,
Oh, he was
it's not
hesitant.
always.
Yeah, because
Yeah.
the deal was like, if he moved and took this job, I couldn't work anymore. And I was a stay-at-home mom for 7 years working, you know, online and stuff. And I got a bartending job that I loved. I love bartending. I love being out there with the people. And so that was my
Yeah.
free time. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I homeschool. I was doing all these things, but that was me time. So yeah, it was scary for him because he was taking my freedom, you know, my way out, my escape from like all the babies. And it was my break. So not just the change, but you know, the minute he switched the shift, they wanted to give him more responsibility. And he fought that for a little while of just like, not sure he wanted to be a boss because he likes to go in, do his own thing and not talk to people. Right. That's the magic. Well, now that motherfucker is talking to everybody because he's the boss. He's one of the bosses. So he loves it. I mean, I cannot explain to people what it has done. Not just like, you know, the shift in his energy, but even here, like I get to be in my, you know, feminine energy. I don't have to be stressed out and carry the weight of his energy and, you know, try to hustle all the time and get to just be and take care of the family and take care of the house and, you know, keep the kids alive. That's my goal. And I think I'm doing a great job, babe. So just in case you're wondering what we do all day, they're alive. That's what matters. But just getting to be, it's been a whole shift. And just with him, I mean, I'm sure he took years off his life being miserable at a place he wasn't respected, you know, and now it's like they have, you know, great relationship with all the guys he works with. And it's amazing. It's night and day. So if you are miserable at your job, you're choosing what you're not changing. So either change it or don't complain about it and stop putting that weight on everybody around you. I promise they can feel it, you know, and it, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And if you can't set a boundary at a job, how are you setting boundaries in your personal life? I just feel like you're not. I feel like you're not. Well, this is awesome, Dana. How can people find you?
Mostly Facebook, I guess. I don't really do anything else other than Facebook. I think it's just Dana Austin. I have a Facebook page for my business. I think it's just, I don't even remember what it is. Dana Austin, just type it in. You'll find me.
I'll have you send me like your
I
links.
Will.
Just
I'll
share
you
your
links.
Links and we'll
yeah.
put that. So her shit's linked down here, you guys. Okay. So get in touch with her. And is there anywhere else that people can find you? Just Facebook with your business page?
Yeah, pretty much. I have a hard time balancing anything else these days. Just so much going on and so many changes. And, you know, eventually I'm sure I'll have some other way, but that's pretty much it. It's just through Facebook. And I'm pretty much answer everything that I get. So, and you can, I mean, even people can reach out on my cell phone. I'll give you my cell phone number. People can reach out that
whoa,
way.
Whoa, Dana,
that
we're setting
totally
boundaries
fine.
Here. Whoa, whoa,
I
you
know,
guys,
right?
you do
Right?
not get to text her. You can message her and she'll get to you on her
Yep,
time.
Send me a
Okay.
message and I will definitely
She'll
get
get
there.
back to
But
you
I
on
mean,
her time.
yeah, I mean, I have boundaries with my phone. I don't.
Yeah.
Believe me, I know how Do Not Disturb works,
right?
And it is on first.
Isn't
for
it
certain
funny
hours
that
of
we
day,
were
for
like
sure.
literally paying for ringtones at one
Yeah.
point? I know I paid for ringtones, and now that bitch never rings. I'm
Right?
on
Me too.
silent 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We're crazy.
Exactly.
We're crazy.
I know it's funny
human
when
species.
I like when I'll go someplace, like I'll go get a massage or be an acupuncture or something. I'm like, and I literally don't have my phone or anything on me for maybe an hour, hour and a half. And then you come back and there's just like 8,000 notifications.
Oh,
And
I
you're
know.
just like, oh my gosh, I like totally would, like, you don't realize what is going on
Yeah,
every minute, like
exactly.
when you're just at the mercy of your phone all the time. And then when, you know, you have that extended time away, you're just like, holy cow, this is,
Yeah.
I did not think I was that important.
Yeah.
So it's
That's how it
interesting.
Works.
If anybody wants to send me an email, I will give you my email address. It's dana.austin.financial@gmail. I just have kind of a general Gmail for that. So
perfect.
So they can get a hold of me if they want to, you know, I don't know. And then I've got, you know, I've got appointment stuff so people can set up appointments. I can send you that link too. Because that's kind of what I do. I do mostly Zoom appointments. I can meet with anybody anywhere. And so it's really easy
I love that.
To get a
I
hold
love
of me.
That.
So.
You guys take advantage of this, okay? And maybe she could share her Cash App, because I think you should buy her a cup of coffee for her time at least, something like that. I feel like there should always be an exchange, just like the exchange for listening to this podcast. It is free. There is no ads that you have to listen to endlessly. But the price is, I would like you to leave a review. Make sure you share this, and don't just hit the 5-star review. Okay. Make sure you're typing a review like, "Brandon, you suck so fucking hard." Whatever it takes, whatever you're feeling in the moment. Brandon, you should bring Dana on again. Leave the review in writing. Okay. Cause that's 10 times more valuable. Make sure you share the podcast and that you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. And listen, bitch, life's too short to play small, okay? So dream big, get crazy, and get financially smart, okay? Reach out to Dana. Dana, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It was awesome.
Bye, guys.